Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
Did you see this Unite the Right rally?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. And it's being covered. As you are, Unite the Right. Who's these Unite the Right people? Oh, they're those white supremacists. They hate black people. They're just a bunch of racists. And so out comes Unite the Right's organizer, Jason Kessler, the same guy who organized the Charlottesville rally that turned violent a year ago. And then to counter him, the Antifa people who were, you know, marching through the streets, chanting that cops are pigs. That's
yeah,
the kind of thing they do.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. This kills me. Okay, if you are a self-respecting, true believer white nationalist, right, you're going to give your group a name that I would assume would be some kind of a nod to what you believe, right?
You would think.
You would think. But they don't call themselves that, do they? They call themselves Unite the Right, with the implication, of course, being that all right people on the right, they're all white supremacists. We know that. Unite the Right. Mm-hmm. And who chose that name? I just want to remind everybody who these people are. Jason Kessler is the leader of Unite the Right. Called the group the same thing he did last year when he, you know, was marching around as a white supremacist. Okay, well, when did this marching around as a white supremacist begin? January 2017. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the month that Trump took office on January 20th.
Yeah.
This is when that started. Oh, so like, what was Mr. Kessler, you know, the white supremacist and all. What was he doing in November 2016, 2 months before? He was still working with the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Mm-hmm.
And has a long record of past support for Barack Obama, who he must have noticed was black.
Do you think?
Yeah. So all of a sudden, it's November 2016, and he's not into white supremacy. But now it's January 2017, and he suddenly discovers, wakes up, it could happen to anybody, wakes up one day and discovers that he's a white supremacist, even though he voted for Obama. You believe that? I have got some land I would like to, some beachfront property right here in Greenville I would like to sell you. I don't believe it. And then the guy goes and chooses Unite the Right as the name of his group. Really? Nothing having to do with white supremacy or his supposed beliefs that he, came by in January 2017 when he hit his head like that? I don't believe it. I think this entire thing was astroturfed. And by the way, if you read about what's been going on with Jason Kessler, an actual white supremacist, over the last year, they won't have anything to do with him. They don't consider him legit.
It's pretty bad when even white supremacists won't have anything to do with you.
I know. They don't think he's leading. They voted for Obama. What kind of self-respecting white supremacist votes for Obama? And I'm telling you, I think this whole thing was astroturf. I think it's a big, showboat by the left to try to paint the right as white supremacist. By the way, have you actually seen Dinesh D'Souza's new movie, Death of a Nation?
No, I have not seen that yet.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. My son, my 8-year-old, is asking to go back to the theater to see it again because there was so much in it he didn't understand because I had to stop every 5 seconds and explain it to him. And so now that he got, he gets all that stuff, he wants to go back and see it again.
Right.
And he was actually asking, bugging me over the weekend to watch. We have another Dinesh D'Souza movie. He enjoyed it so much. So great movie. But one of the most striking things in there, and we've done this on the show before, is just really dig deep into the backgrounds of Jason Kessler and Richard Spencer. Two card-carrying alleged white supremacists. And I say alleged because I'm not clear that I believe them on their white supremacy. I would not be surprised if it doesn't turn up one of these days that these guys are paid operatives of the left. Well, D'Souza sits down with Richard Spencer. He was another one of the guys involved in the Charlottesville thing, although not the leader like Jason Kessler. And he starts to ask, he's talking to him about him. And, he's asking him, who do you identify with? Who are your past heroes? Blah, blah, blah. And the guy admits that he's a progressive, admits that he doesn't believe in natural rights except those granted by the government. If rights don't come from the government, then you have no rights. Right. But we're supposed to believe he's from the right, right?
Yeah.
That his biggest dream is that we have socialized health care, state-sponsored health care, And, you know, he's going on and on and on and on about this. And say, you know, D'Souza's like, you know, aren't you really, wouldn't you be more at home in the Democrat Party? Given all the things you believe. He's an anti-capitalist. He's a socialist. He wants socialized medicine. Would like to see the end of borders worldwide. Would like to see one world government. I mean, come on, who does this sound like?
Yeah. He's it certainly not doesn't sound like the right.
No. Yeah, I mean, this guy couldn't get a booth. But forget his racial politics. This guy couldn't get a booth at CPAC. Based on his economic politics, they'd throw him out of there. Yeah. He's a socialist. Yeah. Just like Jason Kessler. A communist / socialist. That's who they are. And you look at these people, and especially Jason Kessler, again, marching under the Unite the Right. Remember me telling you, Lee, I didn't know anything about Jason Kessler. I didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. I heard about the Charlottesville rally, and I saw that the name of the group was Unite the Right, and I knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
I knew automatically it just rung all my bells that true white supremacists wouldn't call themselves that. And here's a weird thing. The paper I work for in Charlotte, Creative Loafing, they sent an undercover reporter, a very talented one, to a lot of these white supremacist conferences that they have up and down the East Coast. So, you know, he wanted to get to know these guys, find out who they were, how many of them there were. So this is like, you know, 15 years ago. And one of the things that was most striking to me is that even back then when he was going to these conferences, a lot of these people... They throwing out their racial politics, they are not capitalists. They are socialists. Their adherence to Nazi, you know, sort of ideology. They are very at home with the entire Democrat Party ideology except race. And so, you know, you look at and who they are, to paint them as members of the right is probably one of the biggest propaganda victories that the left has managed to accomplish. Because they just not who they are. And so, you know, I don't know. Jason Kessler, there you go, folks.
I'm just
couldn't find a real white supremacist.
I'm not going to say anything. I've just got a little conspiracy theory going on here that I can think about that I'm not going to talk about right now.
Look, well, and I don't want to go full conspiracy, but there is a great video online that was taken from a restaurant. It was one of the restaurants that was first stormed by the Antifa types last year at Charlottesville, where people were beaten, including like grandfathers and stuff like that. And the folks in the restaurant claim that the Antifa guys and the supposedly racist Unite the Right folks got off the same bus together. Like, were dumped off. And it wasn't just one bus. Hmm. It was a whole line of buses.
Yeah.
We're going to find that out someday, I'm telling you. This Jason Kessler guy, they keep telling white supremacist. No, let's more accurately describe him as white supremacist Obama Occupy Movement supporter. Then we know who he is. And people will be like, what? Yeah. What? Yeah. I don't believe it. I don't believe any of it. I don't think any of this was real. I think it was theater this weekend. It was theater by the left. And I think it's theater by the left because they want to scare black people into voting for their bankrupt ideology and ignoring all of the things that Trump has been able to do for economic opportunity for people of every color. I think they want to scare them with hate, and they can't find any, and they have to astroturf it.
And that's the whole economic success is the danger to their narrative because it, you know, negates a lot of what they're saying.
Yeah. And but by the way, you know, I saw an interview with Nancy Pelosi over the weekend, and it was I watched those, so you don't have to. It was what was so striking was they asked her about, you know, well, are you guys for creating jobs? You know, and she's like, yes, we're through for creating jobs through government infrastructure programs.
That's right. Here's a shovel. Right. Go build a bridge.
In other words, she couldn't say we're through create. They can't even say anymore, Lee, we want businesses to succeed
right.
so there'll be jobs.
You can't even
say we want small businesses to succeed so there'll be jobs anymore on the left. You cannot push for any kind of business success. The only legitimate job created has to be one created by government. There can't be any other kind. I mean, that's how radical they've gotten.
Well, right in line with you didn't build this.
Right. You didn't build this. No job is legitimate unless the government creates it. We don't want any other kind because then somebody will succeed. And they might be better than you and that'll make you mad. And we're all for eliminating success.
And if you got a tax cut, you're taking money from
you're
people.
Taking money that you earned yourself from the government.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Texter writes, Tara, most Americans don't know this either. We've made Apple CEO Tim Cook extremely rich while he's doing favors for Robert Mueller by clearing him to see Manafort's phone info, yet he wouldn't do the same when the FBI was trying to get phone info about a terrorist. This is outrageous. I'm ready to boycott Apple. So says Sherry in Greenville. Texter writes, Tara, this should be not to be any. This should not be any surprise. Talking about the white supremacists who are actually liberals, Tara, this should not be any surprise since the word Nazi is derived from the German words for National Socialist. Yes, they were the National Socialist Party. Texter writes, saw the movie Death of a Nation last night. Eye opening, what they are doing, lying about the Democrats and painting the right as white supremacy. Yep. Texter writes. On folks seeking out a partner 25% better looking than them. You took a selfie with my significant other the other day, Patricia. She is at least 75% better looking than me. So says Mark. Well, congrats, Mark. Looks like you really hauled her in there. 800-347-1063. Text line 71307. All right. In the good news file this morning, I saved this especially to read this morning because I wanted to pump you up. This from the Wall Street Journal, which has been at best economically skeptical of President Trump and was lukewarm on his tax cuts, liking some parts of them, but, you know, asking questions about the rest. Well, the headline today is Trump's tax wisdom. Actually, this is 3 days old. Trump's tax wisdom. I just want to read parts of it to you because I told you the thing that would be a game changer for a generation with Trump's tax cuts was not the $400 to $1,000 is going to save the average worker. Wasn't that. It was being able to repatriate the foreign cash and having a much lower corporate tax rates that we could begin to have companies come home. And that's exactly what is happening. Here's the Wall Street Journal. Here's what they write. There's now an emerging consensus that the tax law may pull so much investment. And remember, investment means jobs. So much investment into the United States that it could impoverish governments across the globe. Let me let that sink in for a minute. Okay, this is the quasi-lukewarm Wall Street Journal that was marginally for, but only barely, the Trump tax cuts in the beginning. There's now an emerging consensus that the law may pull so much investment into the United States it could impoverish governments across the globe. Companies will be more likely to put profits and real investment into the U.S. than they were before the U.S. lowered its corporate tax rate from 35 to 21%. That's according to who, again? The International Monetary Fund. Here's what Wall Street Journal writes about the International Monetary Fund. Nothing says establishment consensus like the International Monetary Fund. Remember, all these people were outraged by the idea of the crumbs staying in the pockets of the corporations and the American people. And all this is going to do is boom and boom and boom and boom and show and create jobs. According to this, the Wall Street Journal editorial and the International Monetary Fund paper on this, forecasting the results, and the results, according to the IMS, a suddenly more competitive United States. Well, duh. We used to have the highest corporate tax rate on earth. I can remember, so many liberals have called the show over the years to say, well, you don't understand, Terry. It's not a real fat tax rate that's 35%. It's effective. And they do write-offs and stuff, so they don't really pay 35%. So it's not going to make any difference. Well, if you're not really paying it, I would always say to them, why don't we lower it then? And go ahead and lower it. Oh, no, we can't do that. Why not? Because no. Okay. So, if we lowered it, they would tell me, it won't do any. Here's the IMF, by the way, staffed by economic liberals. Again, emerging consensus that the Trump tax law may pull so much investment into the U.S., it could impoverish governments around the globe. Awesome. The IMF economists add, compounded by investor-level taxation of dividends and capital gains, high tax rates, the ones we had before, discouraged investment in the corporate sector. Yeah, of the United States of America. Now, what else is this going to do? This is just as good. The journal notes that other countries are likely to chase the U.S. by lowering their corporate tax rates, too, creating the potential for what critics have called a race to the bottom in terms of tax rate. You know what that means? capitalism exploding around the globe, just boundless prosperity and opportunity. It's good. It's good. It's good. Anywhere type, the best thing you can do to help the people of a country, any country, is to inject capitalism and then step back and watch what happens. Jobs created, wealth soars, government out of the way every time. So for you, are those of you on the left who call me the Trump tax cuts ruin the economy, are you listening to CNN again? Because this, again, is the IMF, one of your liberal institutions, not ours. I'd abolish it if I could. But good to see Trump getting the props there. Just as I projected, the most powerful part of the tax cuts would be the repatriation and investment in the United States of America. And we're seeing that now. Good morning. And it is a great morning here at 106.3 WORD, the South Carolina Broadcasting Association's Station of the Year. I'm still pumped from this weekend. We went to Columbia for the awards ceremony and the creme de la creme award that you can win. If, you know, your television news is Station of the Year and radio, you're Station of the Year, and we won it this year. So just absolutely thrilled to be able to report that. In order to do that, this station had to beat out every other radio station in the state in every format. So this wasn't just best news talk station or anything. This is a radio station of the year. I'm very proud this morning to be broadcasting from the radio station of the year. And we just went nuts. We did. We all rushed the stage. Me, Bobby Mack, Steve, Mark, Moneypenny was there. Lonzo was there. And we just went nuts. Just to win that is such a great honor. Especially considering that this station in its format has not been around that long in this current constitution that we're in. We were not too long ago an AM station on a, you know, fading dial, as AM is. We weren't even on the FM band. So we're relatively speaking, compared to, you know, most of the radio stations in the state, we're pretty new in terms of, you know, being in our current home at 106.3, FM on the dial. And so for all of that to come together and all the hard work over the years to really bring this station to the fore, make it a force, not just in the upstate, but now in the state, is just, it's awesome. It's exciting. Mark Hendricks, my boss, just came around, holding the cup in his hands. It's huge. You could use it as a weapon. I guess he wouldn't want Antifa to get a hold of that. He could barely carry it. And he's a pretty buff, in shape guy. It's just the size of the trophy there. So great weekend for us. Love to see WORD, which is so often denigrated by, you know, our political foes, get the due that it deserves. And not just to win that, but, you know, we have hit some amazing highs in the ratings here in the last year. And I thought, honestly, after the last ratings book, we couldn't go any higher, that this was it, that, you know, I even sort of mentally prepared my boss for a dip, because I just didn't think we could maintain what we were doing long term, just, you know, seasonal changes and listening. And I mean, everything like that. And, you know, so I was dreading this book, thinking there'd be a dip, which is a problem in radio, is when you hit a high, you get, you know, all the kudos, for that period. But that means you've set a new mark. And so everything else that you hit is below that mark. And so what you were doing, you know, 3 years ago is now way below that mark, even if it's the average. And so, you know, I was kind of worried about this book, just because, you know, anytime there's a downturn, it doesn't look good, even if you're coming off an all-time high. And we hit another all-time high. So just, I don't know what the ceiling is for this radio station anymore. And I'm so thrilled to be along for the ride to figure out what it is. But I want to thank all of you. You make the station what it is. And thank everybody who does the real work at this station, the sound of it. The way that all the elements come together and choreographed, the producers, Chris, thank you. Lonzo, Moneypenny, Lee, running a stellar newsroom back there, and all the work you guys do all the time. I can't tell you what winning this means. I mean, it just, like I said, I didn't sleep well this weekend, because, you know, when you get that pumped, you, it's hard to come down from it and go to sleep. So and I was the South Carolina Radio Personality of the Year last year. Won that award. I was one of the MCs. So I actually got the list of winners about 3 days before. And I knew we had won it. And everyone around here is a little frustrated with me that I didn't tell anyone. But I took my job seriously. And I thought, no, I got to keep that under wraps. I don't want to make anybody mad. And then I thought, come on. What fun is it going to be if they know we won? You know, for everybody to go to the banquet this weekend. So I let him learn for the first time on the stage, which, you know, I'm glad I did, because it was just cool to see everybody's face and see everybody get that pumped about having won. So I had to keep it secret for a few days, but boy, am I excited. Just, you know, what a week. And by the way, thanks to you shattering previous fundraising records as well. For the GHS Children's Hospital, we're now over $3 million raised in the 11 years we've done it. And, you know, we were a little down last year. It's no big deal, but we were a little down last year. To see us set an all-time fundraising high mark, that's your work. You wrote the checks. I mean, I just can't say enough thanks to all of you. So if you're listening to this station and somebody says, oh, that station, I'll take them seriously. Well, this is the radio station of the year for the state of South Carolina. So just really excited for all that to go down. 800-347-1063. Text line 71307. Texter writes, pay raises for everyone. Yeah. Another texter writes, where did that go? Oh, about the last segment. If you tell a big enough lie long enough, people will believe it. Yes, they will, especially if the media repeats it enough times. By the way, almost every weekend now in the country, there is rioting going on. And if you watch CNN, MSNBC, all the mainstream media, you have no idea this is happening. Far left mobs have rioted in at least three major U.S. cities every weekend. And not one mainstream media outlet, except for Fox, I don't know if you consider them mainstream or not, has reported on the widespread violence. Antifa crack skulls and beat protesters attacked grandmothers in Portland, Oregon. Portland is well on its way to burning to the ground. Providence, Rhode Island, Berkeley. It is nuts out there. What is going on? And this is being blacked out by the mainstream media, including, listen to this, in Charlottesville this weekend. An NBC reporter was beaten and knocked to the ground. By who? Antifa. Did it get reported? Mm-mm. The only reason we know about it is because the cameraman posted the video on Twitter. And so you can see where NBC cut out the attack by Antifa and didn't mention it. I mean, that's staggering, the way that they cover for the violence that's going on. And so I don't know if you saw this from the Boston Globe over the weekend. 70 news organizations have come together to plan their negative coverage of Trump. So you got to love this. Pre-planned negative coverage. Well, wait a minute. How do you know that what Trump's going to be doing is negative if it hasn't happened yet? We know. We're the media. Okay. Sure. Yeah. And they say that Trump has become a threat to them. Because he criticizes their coverage. He is violating the First Amendment rights. That's about the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard when it comes to free speech. Free speech means we all have free speech. The only way somebody can violate your First Amendment rights is if they don't let you speak. If you say something and they don't like it and they argue back, that's not curtailing your First Amendment rights. That's having a debate. In fact, the only real evidence I can think of anywhere of anybody's First Amendment rights actually being curtailed is conservative platforms on Facebook and social media. The only real evidence I can think of actual First Amendment violations, suppression, is Antifa. And how conservatives can't even speak on college campuses anymore. It's us who are having our rights violated, not them. And they're actually arguing, well, the president criticizes our reporting and that's violating our First Amendment. No, it's not. That'd be like me saying that my latest liberal troll on the text line is violating my First Amendment rights because he criticized what I just said. That's just stupid. It's stupid. Texter writes, congratulations. Thank you. Radio, South Carolina radio station of the year. Oh, yes. And there is Mark Hendricks proudly holding up the cup. You know, we need like one of those Olympic ceremonies. Maybe we could do it in the parking lot. You know what I mean? Like with like medals and stuff and we all stand on the stand. We'll put Bobby Mack on the short one, help him get up there, you know what I mean? We'll do this. Yeah, we'll do a ceremony. Maybe
play
somebody
the national
can
anthem.
Play the national anthem. Yes, no one will kneel. They wouldn't dare. Not here in South Carolina. Yeah, the fans would beat them. We don't do that kind of thing here. No way. Now that'd be a violation of your First Amendment rights. That would be. Somebody tell CNN. Do you have a beard? Seems like everybody has a beard now. And you know what? I saw this. Not my imagination. Yeah, there were a few decades where beards really weren't that trendy. Yeah, but they've been back for well over 10 years now, and it's so bad it doesn't look like they're going anywhere. It's killing the razor industry. According to latest studies, the number of times men shave in a month has gone from 3.7 times to, what? 3.2 times? There were some people, how would 3.7? You'd look rough most of the time. I don't know about that. Anyway, we know this. Razor sales just keep falling. In the past year, they've dropped 5%, and the industry believes its best chance of bouncing back is just trying to survive until the beard trend goes away. Which, you know, if they're counting on producer Chris, then razors are done. I see you trimmed your beard up over the weekend. You lost like 3 or 4 inches there.
I did. I originally started growing it out around the time that Christopher Robin was born. Not because of it, but just coincidentally, that's when it happened. And I had just gotten the idea in my head to see how long it would get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's pretty clear that it got about here, you know,
yes.
Got down to a certain length and then didn't get any longer. And the kids are growing up and they, you know, I play with them and they would step on it.
Oh, yeah, that hurts.
And pull it and you know, get their hands caught in it. And I just said, you know what, this is more of a liability than anything else at this point. So, plus it turned August. And I don't know if you've noticed, but it's hot outside.
Yeah, I guess that's like having a little fur coat on your face. Yeah. Well, apparently it's the hot hip thing. I have always liked beards on men. Like way back before it was cool. And I'd be like, oh, I like beards. And people would be like, eh. So, I mean, I guess, you know what I mean? I was just way ahead of the time. I was cutting edge. So, I mean, my husband and I have been back and forth on the beard thing. Like, please grow it up, please, please. And he will, and he can only stand it for so long, and then he shaves it. But I love my husband's beard because he's one of those people who's like, his hair is kind of brown, but he's got that Scotch-Irish background. So when his beard grows in, it's red. It's like red. And it's the coolest color of red. So I'm always bugging him to. But he swears that having a beard is actually more work because you got to trim it up so much. So, you know,
well, unless you go the route that I did, which was mostly just lazy. I just let it grow out.
You did. You didn't trim it.
Barely cut it at all, ever.
Yeah. Yeah. So my husband keeps it nice and trimmed. So Texter writes, I never pictured Chris with a beard. Yeah, well, then you would have never pictured Chris because you could barely see him underneath the beard.
You know, it's funny. I have had occasion to shave completely in my life, and I have a baby face under here. That's part of the reason I grew it out. I look so much younger when I don't have a beard at all.
So I would love if you shaved just one time, just to see what you actually look like. You know what I mean? Like, it's always shocking when that happens. Even if it's my husband, I haven't seen his face for a while. I'm like, whoa, that's weird, your face there. So, I mean, if it's, you know, like, I've never seen you with no beard on your face. I bet it would shock me. You got to do that just for fun.
Maybe. When's your birthday?
Oh, yeah. It was in May. Darn it. Do I have to wait that long? I guess I have to wait that long. I'm going to make a note of that and ask you next year to shave, just so we can see. We'll take a picture of it and save it. Texter writes. Back to the news. All right. Texter writes, on the NFL anthem, I think people should switch their allegiance to the Panthers. And loves our military. The team has yet to kneel during the whole debate. Last day of training camp. Hashtag, let's go Panthers. Texter writes, Tara on the First Amendment, classic examples of liberals being guilty of very things they claim conservatives do. Yes, as always. Texter writes, where'd it go? Oh, here it is. Tara, congrats on the award. Yes, W-O-R-D. 106.3 WORD has won Station of the Year from the South Carolina Broadcasters Association in the process, beating out every other radio station in the entire state. We are very proud of that. We won the award this weekend. Congrats on the award. He writes, I have loved you and the show since day one. Semper Fi. So says Tony from Spartanburg. Ah, well, thank you, Tony. Texter writes, hey, Tara, love your show. New York transplant since 98. Russ converted me. I work on cars a lot, and whenever I'm done fixing them, I set the radio station to 106.3 on each car. Maybe the customer will keep listening, or maybe not. Well, thank you for everything that you do, doing your part for the station. Texter writes, these unkempt beards are the earmark. Oh, Chris. are the earmark of beta males so they can believe they're men. Texter writes, my husband had a beard. When he got out of the hospital, it looked really nice, but I told him if you ever want to have, again, shave. This texter does not say how that worked out, but I'm sure he is clean shaven now. And finally, yeah, a lot of people, I just can't see Chris with a beard. I can't picture Chris without a beard. That would be really weird.
You know, it's funny. I actually did this on Saturday a week ago. You were all out all last week. You were not in the studio.
Yeah, so I guess I didn't physically see you.
Noticed.
I haven't seen you for
but
a while.
But I did this Saturday before the Upstate Pulse, our weekend show, and realized when I came in, Lonzo has seen me before without, you know, with a short beard. But the our producer, the guy who runs the show, Patrick Brown, had never seen me that way, and I blew his mind. I actually cut my hair and my beard in front of my kids so that they wouldn't freak out, you know, when they saw it later.
Yeah, they can
and they
still
would be
pick
kind
you
of familiar
out of
with the process
lineup.
And recognize this is still Daddy.
Right.
You know, but I neglected to think of Patrick. I should have invited him too.
Right. So did he freak out then? He's, whoa. See, okay, right now, when you say you cut your beard, see, Chris has what most people would consider a regular beard now. Before that, he looked like Grandpa Jesus. Sorry, about Moses.
I call
Grandpa
that look
Moses.
The full jihad.
The full jihad. You know, we got to get you. You know, we should, because I know you'll grow back out. I know how you are. We got to get you a terrorist T-shirt. A T-A-R-A-R-I-S-T. This is what a lot of people call themselves terrorists who listen to the show. Like T-A-R-A-I-S. Yeah. And you go wear that with your long beard. Right? That's how we're going to get the FBI down here for an interview. That's how we're going to do it. Yeah, some guy with a terrorist T-shirt and a long beard. Oh, my God.
Aloha Snack Bar.
Yes, Aloha Snack Bar. You should have seen the snack bar this weekend at the Broadcast Awards. It's the best folks working for this station have eaten in a long time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.